In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My beloved, today we are celebrating the day of his saints, equal to the Apostle and Emperor Constantine and his mother, Yelena, and of course also we're celebrating the meeting of the icon of the Virgin Mary, icon of Mother of God, in Moscow, where she had saved the Russian people from invasion of unorthodox people. My beloved, Saint Constantine was born in a family of a royalty. The father was a emperor but his mother has become a Christian. He was born between two cultures, and he saw a lot of pagan things, and also he saw his mother, but he was brought in to Rome and put as a supposedly as an honor for him, but actually it was more like a hostage, so that his father would be obeying the Roman emperor. There was a lot of persecutions going on in Rome against the Christians, and Saint Constantine, future Saint Constantine, had saw all that and was unhappy seeing that, and seeing that the Christians had a different life altogether than the pagans. The pagans lived literally without having love for their neighbor, but having love for oneself only, selfishness, and filled with all kinds of intrigues and all kinds of evil doings. And the future Saint Constantine finally was, when he was released, he was going, went home, and he came home and he saw his father dying. His father had died, and the soldiers had immediately gave the obedience to him as the inheritor of the father's place. My beloved, Saint Constantine saw that, and he of course gave, just like his father, the freedom of religion, that anybody could be free. The Christians were able to serve God without being persecuted, and the pagans were allowed to do their own thing. And but then when he heard that there were so many terrible things are happening in Rome, that the persecutions went worse and worse than ever, and finally he heard that the emperor was going to go with a war, Roman emperor going to go war against him, so he gathered his army, and he didn't know what to do or to go against the great power of the Rome. And then and one day he's looking at the sky, and he sees a cross formulating right by the sun, and the cross becomes so bright that it overshadows the sun, and there's a sign there that said that with this you will conquer. And he wasn't sure what was going on, and then he fell asleep at night, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to him, and he told him that he is to use that as a symbol and to go against the Roman emperor, and that he is going to win, for the Lord is going to be with him. And when he awoke, he had ordered to a beautiful symbol of the cross made as a banner, and putting a symbol of crosses on every shield of his soldiers. And he went and he conquered the Roman emperor, and the Roman emperor fled, and fled across the river, and the bridge collapsed, and he went into and drowned, just in a sense like Pharaoh did. And St. Constantine came into Rome as a victor and was greeted so much by the people, because they were so tired of all the persecutions and all the terrible things that emperor there was doing, including taking away from the senators their properties and taking away the wives to have orgies, and all kinds of terrible things were done. And of course, as he went to war with St. Constantine, he had sacrificed not only animals to the demons, but even children. These terrible things were made. And St. Constantine, when finally he had taken the throne and become a ruler, and he's called even in the world St. Constantine the Great, and my beloved. But then he started to feel and saw a lot of trouble coming. Trouble coming not where he expected. He was looking at the Holy Church and the Orthodox people as saints, as they would live like saints and so on. But then all of a sudden he started to hear that they're fighting amongst each other because they're interpreting the scriptures differently, and all kinds of heresies starting to come up. So he calls the bishops and tries to get them to straighten things out, and finally he calls the First Ecumenical Council, which 318 bishops came from all over the world, which he had summoned and which he had paid for their coming. And of course you know that council, as we had celebrated this last Sunday, a couple of days ago, that they have condemned the heresies and separated the heretics from the church. St. Constantine has been hurting so much because he wanted to see the ideal thing here for ideal government and ideal living and according to the gospel of the people. But most of the people, or many people, did not want that, as you know. And St. Constantine today is being in heaven. They're being saddened when they see us not being able to live together peacefully and with having love for each other and tolerating each other. And of course you know that the enemy of the Lord is always instigating to have the family to bust up and then to go one against the other, not having the love for each other, not able to carry the burdens of each other. And of course the countries and all kinds of revolutions and all kinds of unrest is happening all over the world, and all that is instigated by the demons. But first of all, of course, it starts with a family. And you and I, we have families, and those of us who do, make sure that the enemy cannot stand between us and members of our families and the members of our communities and so on, because that's what the enemy wants to do, to break up the church. And of course, St. Constantine and his mother, you know also that he was very much impressed with the power of the cross, and he wanted to locate the cross, but he felt he was not worthy to go himself to look for it, because he was at war and he had shed blood in the war. And so he sent his mother to Jerusalem to find the cross. And to, when she came, she saw that all the holy places were absolutely destroyed. Pagan temples were put on the places where all the holy places where the Lord had been, and garbage was dumped on many places, defiled all the holy places. And so she started to clean up every place and started to build the churches over the holy places. And finally, after lots of hard work, she finally was able to find somebody that revealed where the cross has been buried, with the two crosses of the robbers. And when he started to dig in that place, all of a sudden a beautiful aroma was coming from there, and they uncovered three crosses. When they uncovered three crosses, but they didn't know, and the plaque that was that this is the kingdom of the Jews, and the nails and whatever separately, and they didn't know which cross was the Lord. And at that time a funeral procession was going, and somebody carried past a dead person to be buried, and the procession was stopped. And the bishop ordered to have the cross put on to the young man that was dead. And when they put the first cross, nothing happened. They put second cross, again nothing happened. But when they put the third cross on, the young man all of a sudden resurrected, and they knew that this was the actual cross of the Lord. And my beloved, there's so many people gathered together that everybody wanted to venerate the cross, but they just would take probably weeks and weeks before everybody could get to it. So the bishop had raised the high over his head, the cross, with the help, of course, of his clergy. And as he was raising, so people can at least see it, and they were all singing and crying out, "Lord, have mercy." And this is how we have the holiday formulated, of the holiday of the lifting up of the cross, which is celebrated in the autumn. My beloved, let's try to remember our saints, our guardian angels. Let's remember that they are watching over us, and they love us, and they want us to remember them, and to live according to the gospel, and to fulfill God's laws, and not to live for oneself, but to live to please the Lord. That's what the most important thing. And they are always helping us. And to my great sorrow, so many times we forget even our guardian angel and our saints. We remember our saints mainly when it's our name's day. But that's not right. We should remember the saints every day, and because they are praying for us all the time, because they love us. And we should have the love for them. We should have, most of all, of course, the love for the Lord, and want to be with him. But if we are serious about being with him in the kingdom of heaven, we must learn to be with him here on this earth, and not to lose sight of him. And the same thing with the heavenly dwellers. So let's pay more attention to the heavenly things, and let's pay attention to the temporary things that are quite fleeting and are going to all pass by. But the eternal life is something that will always be. Let's make sure that we learn to love our Lord and to love each other, so that we'll be able to get to the kingdom of heaven and enjoy the bliss and seeing our Lord and all our saints, and of course the saints whose memory we're having today, and be rejoicing forever. Amen.